John chapter 14, verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. That's a powerful verse. The Holy Spirit, what is it called? The Helper, who the Father is going to send. How? In Jesus' name, he will teach you all things. Not your pastor, not your Bible school teacher, not your cluster leader. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to teach you all things. Because I can give you everything there is to know about the Bible, and so can the Bible leaders and Bible study teachers. But if the Holy Spirit's not there, it's not going to be applied in your life. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. Now, how do you do that? That's what I want to look at this morning. But he says he's going to bring to remembrance all that I said to you. And then verse 29, how does that work? He says to his disciples, lo, now you are speaking plainly, the disciples said this, and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things, and we have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. In other words, we know that you are fulfillment of God coming to us. Now, understanding just who we are helps us face life. And I want you this morning to understand who you are. You're not just your flesh. You're not just your body. There's more to you than that. Now, that's kind of a struggle for all of us. We are made in the image of God and Jesus. In chapter 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John, he's explaining to us how that works. The disciples, when he told it to them, went pew, right over their heads. But he brought it to the remembrance after they started ministry. They all of a sudden looked back at all of his teaching. They got out all their sermon notes from the Sermon on the Mount and the times he taught. He was with them for 3 years. They took copious notes. They followed him around. They wanted to be like him. They took down everything he had to say. You're just getting a synopsis of what they got in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John tried to fill in the gaps for Matthew, Mark, and Luke left out. Because he brought it back forward and said, now look at this from a different perspective. You looked at it from Jesus was the Son who came to save the world. He did more than that. He is the guy who's going to guide you through life and be your strength from day to day. He's going to talk to you. He's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to encourage you. He's going to convict you. He's going to be your teacher. And I remember when Jesus said that to us. And he told us how it was going to happen. He told us we'd be by means of the Holy Spirit. So it's very Pentecostal as you get into the infusion of the Holy Spirit. And what do I mean by very Pentecostal? Well, he says you stick around until you are endued with power from on high. So they stuck around. They were of one mind. They were of one accord. They stuck around and they prayed and they waited to be endued with power from on high. Jesus told his disciples figuratively and then he told them plainly. That's what he's saying in John, these last three verses. He told them figuratively, this is what's going to take place. And then the disciples says, now you're talking to us plainly. That means you must trust us. Jesus was saying, you got it, finally. But they didn't get it when he was right there in front of them. They didn't get it. The mystery is exciting news for them and for all of us. Because now we have a full-time helper to get us through this life, the Holy Spirit. Now, last Sunday, Carol shared a wonderful message with you. I don't know how many of you got to hear it. If you didn't, you need to go back on Facebook and see it. But she talked about we're building little tabernacles, moms and dads, parents. So you're not just raising kids, you're building little tabernacles. And I like that. She used the example of a tabernacle, not a cathedral. They're not your little precious jewels sprayed out there in front of the world. You're building a little tabernacle. If they think they're cathedrals, people just go and marvel how wonderful they look. But if they're a tabernacle, they're carrying around the Holy Spirit with them. It's a temporary dwelling place for God. That's the definition of a tabernacle. So you're building little tabernacles that you tell them over and over, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? Where's Jesus? He's in my heart. He's in my tabernacle. He's in my body. That being the case, we're building little tabernacles. Well, that's a good intro because that's what I want to talk about you. You're building your tabernacle. You're structuring your life and allowing a place for the Holy Spirit to come with fire to live inside you, just like the fire lived inside the tabernacle in the Old Testament. When that happens, guys, you get infused and you can't keep your mouth shut. You got to tell somebody. I got fire inside me. It's the fire of God. It's the Holy Spirit. He's dwelling in my holy place, in my spirit, inside me. Sometimes people think you're crazy, and you are. I was like John Wimber put it. He says, if I'm going to be a fool, I'm going to be a fool for God. So let's be fools for God. Let the fire burn. Enjoy the process. That's what Carol said last week. Enjoy the process of making those little tabernacles. I'm going to tell you the same thing with you. Enjoy the process of becoming strong in the Lord. Don't expect to be Superman or Superwoman the day you accept Christ. And let me tell you how that works, because then maybe you can give yourself a little chance to listen to the Holy Spirit beckoning in your heart. She said, builder, build with God. And when I chose herself, she said, she looks at herself, she sees herself as an apprentice builder, even as a school nurse. And I want you to know, Carol's a good one for that. She builds little tabernacles all the time. She's always looking after kids. She's trying to get them fired up for Jesus. She worries about those lessons. All. I mean, she gets in there and she spent hours getting you guys kids' lessons that are from the Lord. So pray for Carol. Pray for our junior church workers and our leaders. They're all doing wonderful. Tammy, on Wednesday, she and Carol make a good team on what they do on Wednesday nights. It's kind of fun to watch that happen. We're building little tabernacles as a church. And we've got new little tabernacles coming in all the time, which is fun. I love babies. But I want you to know that we got little tabernacles that come in every day of the week through the preschool. And I see those preschool faces every Monday through Friday. And they are the joy of my life. And I'm really, really disappointed after this next week, because they're going to be gone all summer. But every now and then, Marlene and Kathy will parade them in with their little costumes or with their little faces or with a project they just did to show me. And they come in with the excitement and the joy of the Lord in preschool. Now we're going to extend that to the kindergartens and to the first grade. We're going to have preschool, kindergarten, first grade. And we're going to add more grades, because we're building little tabernacles together. Just being a part of this church, you're helping do that. And we have to build big tabernacles too. John chapter 14, 15 and 16, that's where we parked week before last. Verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How could you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, let me speak that again, okay? Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. You know, those are very, very powerful verses. I use them, I believe, about every funeral I've ever done. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. You believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many, many rooms. It's a big place. Huge. There's a room in there for me. There's a room in there for you. It's going to be incredible. And you're going to have to clean your room. When you get it, it'll be fantastic. But then we get to worship and pray and believe and fellowship with each other and with Him. Eternity. Something to look forward to. But he's trying to establish something right now in his disciples. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I'm going to go away. And I'm going to go away to prepare a place for you. I'm preparing you right now because I'm going to go away. Do you hear that? That's what he's saying in chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because they don't know he's going to be crucified yet. They haven't figured out the timetable of God's plan. And they don't even totally understand it. They're still questioning, are you the Messiah at this point? They're right up to the time of the cross. And they're saying, are you the one? How long have I been with you? Don't you realize that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? He looks right up in the face and says, don't you realize that I am the Father? The Father's in me and I'm in the Father. We are one. If you don't believe that, just believe the works I've done to show you. And let me tell you, greater works I'm going to do when I go to my Father. Because He's going to send you another helper who's going to abide inside you. You know how many years I was a Christian before I began to take in or even begin to comprehend what that entailed? And I'm still uncovering and discovering that I have an access to the throne, that whatever I ask in His name, He's going to accomplish. I'm still dealing, like Thomas and Philip and the other disciples who had their mouths shut. Okay, Lord, show me yourself. And He has, over and over and over. And He has for this congregation, over and over and over. Yet we still struggle. What's wrong with us? Well, we're human. So having said that, let's take a look at being human. Can we? We are made in three parts. Romans 6, 3 and 4 in the New American Standard says, or did you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So how do you walk in newness of life? Now, when you get saved, you become perfect. Did you know that? You think I'm talking tongue-in-cheek, but I'm not. When you accept the Holy Spirit, He wipes you clean. Your sin is gone. You still remember it, but God has said it's okay. It's done. You are now clean, and you are now fit for heaven. You can be a thief on a cross, dying with Jesus, and have no time to clean up your act. But it's been wiped clean. And you get to go to heaven. When you accept Christ, you become perfect, because only perfect people go to heaven. Let me repeat that. Only perfect people go to heaven. You say, oh, no, I'm in big trouble. I have a guy in prison right now, and he told me years ago, he said that if we go through that fire test where God burns away everything out of your life, he says, all things going to be left is a twig. I still remember him saying that because he said it in jest, but he wasn't kidding. He's talking about he knows himself. He knows all of his sins. He knows all of his issues. And he says, I go through that fire test, what's going to be left of me? And that's a good question. What's going to be left of any of us when we go through that fire test? Everything that's not of Christ gets burned away before you go through the gate of heaven. Oh, mercy. So we are in three parts, flesh, soul, and spirit. At salvation, you become a brand new creation. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's been my life verse all the time I've been a Christian. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. All things pass away. Behold, right there in the middle of that. Behold, take a look at this. All things become new. All things. In your life, when you become a Christian, you become a new creation, and everything becomes new. You are perfect when you become a Christian before God's eyes. And you get this beautiful white robe that you get to wear in glory. And you look at yourself and say, well, since I've become a Christian, I haven't really kept up too well. I keep dirtying my robe. So let's go with verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 18, now all these things are from God. Your salvation is not from you. All these things are from God. He reconciled you. That's good news. Your salvation came from God. So stop thinking it's coming from you. Doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. Doesn't matter how pretty you are, how ugly you are, what color your skin. Doesn't matter. Your salvation is from God. And therefore, He's reconciled through Christ Himself to you and you to Him, not counting your trespasses against you. All of your failings, even the present day ones, are reconciled through Christ. He committed to us the word of reconciliation. Our job now is to do the same thing with those around us, guys. We need to reconcile everybody around us. That means forgive everybody. Doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. I didn't deserve what He gave me. So you need to look into everybody's eyes with love. Everybody's eyes. look at them with love and forgiveness and acceptance. That's how you do the ministry of reconciliation. At salvation, you become a new creation, and we are reconciled to God through Christ, becoming sons and ambassadors. That's what it says in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness in him. So we become righteousness in God, and that makes us an ambassador. What on earth is an ambassador? An ambassador is one who carries the message from the one who's he's an ambassador for. So therefore, if you're an ambassador to France from America, you go to America, you represent America in France. If you're an ambassador to Guatemala, you go down there, and you're an ambassador for Christ in Guatemala. And what do? You take the message of Christ to the Guatemalan. We are ambassadors for Christ. That means we take what God gave to us, the forgiveness of sin, and we take it to the world. You're an ambassador for Christ. That means you share the love of Christ with everybody, the same love that he shared with you unconditionally. You share the love of Christ. If you do that well, they're going to see Christ, and they're going to want what you've got. Because you're going to shine for him, and he's not sending you out there by yourself. He's going to go with you everywhere you go. Because guess where he's at? He's not out there somewhere. And the Holy Spirit's not out there saying, come here, Holy Spirit, come here. Guess what? He's already here. He's in here. Just say, come on out of me. Reach deep inside yourself. So we are reconciled to God through Christ, becoming sons and ambassadors for him. So therefore, Romans 6 is kind of a key here. Flesh becomes your offering to God. Your body, Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So God has given to each one of us a measure of faith, and he's telling us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the transformation is complete and perfect in your spirit, but your flesh is weak. Okay, that's why I want you to begin to separate yourself. Body, soul, spirit. Flesh, soul, spirit. Until you accepted Christ, you live primarily in the flesh. You are after your own life, your own goals, your own ambitions. What do I want to be when I grow up? I want to be this. I want to be that. That's what I did. That's what we all do. That's what we're taught to do. What is going to make me happy? Who am I going to marry? Let me find someone that looks the way I want them to look and acts the way that I want them to act. Let me find someone out there that will make me popular or who will whatever. But we don't look at life from, God, what do you want me to do with my life? We don't look at life as, who do you want me to marry? Do we? We're living in the flesh. And you live in the flesh, and you live in your flesh, and you forget that there's a spirit part of you that's there too. And so you have the flesh, and you have the soul and the spirit. Now that soul is a curious thing in the middle there. Because that soul really does influence what happens in the flesh. And what on earth influences the soul? The spirit. The spirit really does affect the soul. And when that happens, you begin to sacrifice your body, which is your reasonable service. You sacrifice the flesh. Therefore, be reconciled by taking a look at your soul. Let's take a minute to understand that. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your soul is the part of you that is your mind, your thinking, and your soul is also your emotions. All those the things that trigger make you laugh, smile, cry, hurt, feel towards someone else, feeling empathy. Your soul is the one that does that. And when the soul is affected, that's going to influence your body. Now, you can let your body influence your soul. In other words, all those physical urges of yours, all those natural things, feel, touch, taste, smell, all that kind of stuff, those things can affect your soul. In other words, when your soul gets hungry, What does it tell your soul to do? Let's eat. And your soul says, but I like banana splits for breakfast. Your soul says, go for it. Because that's your mind. You're making a decision on what your soul's crying for. But if you're going to be reconciled to the Lord, you're not going to let your flesh make a decision about your soul. You allow your spirit to control your soul. Well, guess what? You all have a spirit from the time you've been born. And your spirit's been influencing you as well. So here's your soul being influenced by the flesh, and it's also being influenced by the spirit. Now that spirit can be controlled or moved by God or by the devil. Because your spirit is kind of out there. It's you. And if you don't accept Christ as your personal Savior, it just goes into darkness like you wouldn't believe. A place called hell. But if you accept Christ, that spirit becomes a brand new creation. It is your soul that has access to the Holy Spirit, renewing your mind along with your emotions. So here's your soul. Now you're a brand new creation. And this brand new creation, the spirit begins to infect that soul. And so as that begins to take place, and how does that happen? Through the Word of God, okay? As you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit flows through the Word, begins to affect your soul, which is your mind and your emotions. Suddenly your emotions change, your mind changes. All of a sudden your soul begins to step up. That's why David in the Old Testament in Psalms says over and over, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," that middle part, "and all that is within me." That's the rest of it, the flesh. "Let my flesh bless the Lord." So the Holy Spirit can be influenced. Well, it was just from the outside in David's day of the Old Testament. But guess what? When you accept Christ, now it's on the inside. The Holy Spirit steps in, takes and cleans up your spirit until it is pure, clean, white. You are perfect the day you accept Christ as your Savior. And you say, "I am," but then you look at your body and you say, "Not so much." Okay? And then you look at your soul and you say, "Not so much." But your spirit is perfect. It's been washed clean. And will stay that way until you give up Jesus. As long as you believe in Him, your spirit's okay. And you may make a multitude of mistakes. But as long as you still believe in Jesus. As long as you still believe in Jesus, you're going to make it. Because that's what it takes to get there. "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away." Your soul becomes perfect. So now it's time for us to take seriously getting our soul in order and allowing our soul to infect our body so that our body's in order, and we're building this tabernacle. We rebuild who we are in Christ Jesus. That's a lifetime achievement. And you will get a lifetime achievement award, no matter how long your lifetime is. So it is with your soul you access the Holy Spirit, and that's an awesome way of renewing your mind. And so inside you are the three people. You see up the top right-hand side. And then that body over there can become not like that little fat man on the right side. It can become that nice, new, clean body on the end. Now, if you're a woman, just picture a nice woman up there, okay? Okay. Scripture used man, so I use man. So I'm the little fat guy. And so I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to work on me. But He had other things to work on before He worked on my appetite. He had to work on my attitude, on my unforgiveness. I had to work on my inability to love, my anger and my resentment problems. He had to work on time management. All kinds of stuff He had to work on. He'll get to my body eventually. You just don't know how bad I was off. So He's getting there. The spirit, the flesh, the mind, the emotions, the flesh. Got that? Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit will be with you always. John 14:16. He's finishing out that message. "Lo, I'm going to be with you always, even to the ends of the earth." He says that when he talks about the Holy Spirit. But here he says, "I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper, and that He may be with you forever." You've got a helper forever. If you access the Holy Spirit, He's there. If you don't access Him, He's not there. If you want Him to come into a situation, all you have to do is ask. And He's right there inside you. "Lord, help me get through this. Lord, give me the wisdom to know what to say." And when you say that with your mind and your soul, guess what shows up? The answer. And you'll see things coming out of you you never thought you had in you. Because He brings it to your remembrance. He abides with you. You know what abide means? It means stand right beside. He abides with you. Everywhere you step, He's already stepped. He's already got that way prepared for you. He is not somewhere out there. He is right here beside me. He's with you constantly. He's inside you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. "He will glorify me," in 16:14, "for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you." Now the soul is the center of our being and is strongly influenced by both the flesh and the spirit. So our soul is the center part of us, and it's influenced by our flesh and our spirit. It's kind of like a scale. which way is the scale going to tip? I'm being influenced more by my body, my flesh, or I'm being more influenced by my spirit and God? Where are you on that scale? Where am I on that scale? Where's your faith? He says here, I give everybody a measure of faith. If you got a measure of faith in Jesus when you accepted Christ, what could you do now? You can do anything. Anything! Because how much faith does it take to move a mountain? A mustard seed. Have you guys been to my Facebook page lately? My Facebook page says, I've got a mustard seed and I know how to use it. So look out, devil. Look out, world. Here we come. The soul is the center of our being and is strongly influenced by both the flesh and the spirit. And you can choose Jesus with your mind in every situation. John 16, that's the whole purpose of that chapter. And verse 25 through 9 says, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language. Jesus is talking. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to my Father. His disciples said, Lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not just using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. So up here he says, we are speaking in figurative language. Down here the disciple says, now we know you're not speaking figurative anymore. You're telling us what you're going to do. So figurative language goes to the wayside. Recognize that it's finished. You are complete work in Jesus Christ with your spirit. You are whole in Jesus Christ. You are a reflection of Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador to Jesus Christ. You're not a dumpy looking little old man or woman. You're looking through the wrong mirror if that's what you see. You need to look in the mirror and see Jesus, because that's your spirit. Could you stand with me? Next week I'll make that a little more practical, because I want you to get this concept that everywhere you go, you're taking Jesus with you, because you're a tabernacle. You house the Holy Spirit. There's a fire there. And when you invite the Holy Spirit to invade you, you'll get baptized in the Spirit. Ever been baptized in the Spirit? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I don't want you to get through this series without it happening. Because you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need that fire burning. Praise God, I hope you do. Because it's essential in this day and this age. If we don't shine as a light in the tabernacle, the world out there is never going to know. And this will just be a building. It won't be the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, it's into your hands we come right now. And Lord, we thank you for cleansing our spirits like you have. It's hard to think of us that way, Lord, because our minds haven't been renewed fully yet. We still see ourselves as that dumpy little person struggling through this world, trying to get control of ourselves. Help us, Lord, to look into your eyes and into your face, inside us. Help us to get the identity that you meant for us to get at the cross. Identity of forgiveness. Identity of wholeness. Oh Lord, come now and cleanse our souls. And oh soul, we pray that you'll magnify the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless your holy name. Come, Holy Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.